In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the intentions of those who are studying to attain holy orders. In the vernacular, the epistle comes from the second letter of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. Brethren, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commandeth himself is approved, but he whom God commandeth. Would to God you could bear with them some little of my folly, but to bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God. For I have espoused you to one husband, that you may present as a chaste virgin to Christ, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This concludes the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, please stand as we listen to the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven shall be like to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. But the 5 foolish virgins, having taken their lamps, did not take oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with lamps. And the bridegroom tarrying, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go forth ye to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, Lest perhaps there not be enough for us and for you. Go ye rather to them now that sell, and buy for yourselves. Now whilst they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. But at last came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But answering, he said, Amen, I say to you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, because you know not the day nor the hour. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You may be seated. Today we have this great grace of celebrating the feast of Saint Giuliana Falconieri. You remember her? We've talked about her before. Not sure if it was last year or the year before. But years bleed into one another, especially the crazy year that we've had. So who knows? Who knows? You remember Saint Giulia Falconieri? You don't know her. Amazing saint. An amazing, amazing saint. This is a wise and prudent virgin. As the whole of the teaching of the Mass have talked about, all those various parts that they are always talking about, these wise and great virgins. Well, she was a great woman who was married in such a way that she devoted herself entirely to the upkeeping and care of her children, living in such a beautiful way, even from a young child. Think of your own dear daughter, Catherine, right there. Someone as young as her. So, as when I first encountered her so many years ago when I had less gray in my beard, she herself, at that age, would fright and fear and jump back whenever there was anything of the slightest bit of sinfulness that was spoken about, even, not just done in front of her. When somebody would speak of something which is scandalous in any sort of way, she would shriek back and pull back, lest she would look. She would close her eyes, lest she would look upon things such as a modest dress in that way. She would totally pull herself back. Such was the purity of heart that would be given her. Well, what does it say within the scriptures? Remember, in Matthew chapter 5, our Lord speaks about what? He says, blessed are the what? Blessed are the pure of heart. Because what do they get to do? They get to see God. And so she longed to gaze upon God with the whole of her being, which is why she never wanted to let anything penetrate her soul, even from that littlest bit, whether from the eyes, the ears, the mouth, or the nose, anything like that, that would in any way bring offense to our Lord. She so longed to see God. I don't know about you. Maybe when you were growing up, you had the same experience as I did with my own mother. I'm sure it was similar for Giulia Falconieri. There was a song that was sung to me when I was a little one. My mom used to say, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little The next verse would be, oh, careful little ears what you hear. Be careful little tongue what you say. Be careful little feet where you go. Be careful little hands what you do. Because the Father up above he's looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, little ears, little mouth, little tongue, little feet, little hands, what you do. She lived that out. I assume that somehow, whether it was from her own parents or grandparents, or even just the angel of God, which each one of our little ones has, as our Lord speaks about with the gospel, who gazes upon the face of God, whispered those very same things to her, to keep her in that state of abject purity of soul. As she went through the whole of her life, she dedicated herself, just as the Proverbs 31 woman would have, as so many of the saints do, to making sure she was always about things. She longed to be a part of the convent, longed to be there and live a religious life, giving herself totally over to the works of God, caring for the poor. One of the things that most inspires me about her way in which she cared for the poor was this. Was that something to you and I would be absolutely repugnant. And understandably so. Giulia Falconieri, in her desire to care for the sick, to do that corporal work of mercy, which our gospel here was from the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, well, the corporal works of mercy are in the second half of Matthew chapter 25. There it says, visit the sick, attend to their needs. And so she would visit the sick, she would attend to their needs, seek to give them healing and succor. But she would do so in a way that you and I never would do. She would go down, and not only like you and I sometimes will do to our dear relatives, to our children, when they would skin a knee, when they would get hurt in some sort of way, a bruise that would happen, a boo-boo of some sorts, whether it was existing or not, you and I would give that a kiss, right? I do that even to my niece and nephew. They need a kiss, it's fine. Fine thing to do. Well, she wouldn't just kiss these strangers who were suffering from grievous illness, but she would, those who were suffering particularly from ulcers, she would go there and suck their ulcers with her own lips, take in that foul and festering diseasedness that was in them, as an act of humility and of love for the one. But God granted a grace there, that such that she did give suck in that way. We're healed. God working in this way. And so God worked a miracle by doing these things. You can also think maybe of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron of our diocese here, who was finally freed from all sorts of disabors of soul and to really embrace Christ in his sufferings when finally he embraced the leper. She went even a step further than St. Francis to give suck to the wound that was there, that foul and festering part. This holy, holy woman was given such to the work of visiting the poor, visiting the sick, caring for them. So our Lord visited her with great graces at the end of her life. What grace am I talking about? A grace which is impossible to receive after one leaves this life, passing through purgatory into heaven. She was given the greatest grace that you and I could ever hope to attain, which is what? You know, to suffer. She suffered so grievously and so terribly at the end of her life with huge, terrible pains of stomach, which made it so difficult for her that for the last years of her life, she could not even take food. God preserved her in this way, right? She could not even take food in these last times of her life. So upset was her stomach, even the slightest little bit, so terrible was it and painful. All the while, she wasn't worried about the fact that she was wasting away. She wasn't so much worried that she wasn't able to go and visit the sick that she longed to do, to be able to care for the children who she so much loved and to bring help to those who were about. The thing that disturbed her the most is probably something that disturbed you and me over this past year the most. That's right. It's that she could not take the Holy Eucharist. She could not take the Holy Eucharist at this time because she knew if she would ever begin to do so, that what would happen to it, she would spit our Lord back up. And out of a great honor and love for him, not to expose him even to the least bit of ignominy, the least bit of attack and sacrilege in that way, could not receive our Lord. Could not receive our Lord. How wounded was her who only wanted to look upon the face of Christ, even from just a yea age, a very small age. So on her last day, she knew she was coming to an end, St. Julia Falconieri, and she called for the priest. She said, "Give me the last sacraments." After he gave her the apostolic pardon, which is the last little bit that would be done for the last rites, what she was asked the grace for, said, "Father, I can't receive our Lord. Could you just lay our Lord upon my chest that I may gaze upon him, that I may love him even from here? I've not been able to go to Mass for so long or to leave my bed. Can I just gaze upon him?" And so upon a corporal that was placed upon her chest, as she lay there, right over her heart, the priest placed the beautiful host, the sacred species, right over her there, where she gazed and she gazed and she gazed at him until finally she breathed her last in such serenity and peace when the angels took her to meet her spouse, her king, her Lord. The marvels of St. Julia Falconieri do not end there. For later on, after she had expired, priest devoutly taking that host home or consuming it there, we don't know. Then, when she was being cared for and prepared for the beautiful burial that she would have, they began to pull out her nice clothes to be able to dress her, which was not too much in her life. She tried to live very poorly. They found something upon her, that as they examined her chest, there was a beautiful spot right there, the same size of the host, exactly where the host was laid upon her, which had burned into her heart, that mark of the host. I forgot something, actually. The priest had left her for a little bit with the host that was there. And after she had expired, the host disappeared. It wasn't anywhere to be found. Tried to search. They searched in the garments and folds and things like that, and they couldn't find where it was at all. So there was a little bit of worry to what could have happened there. They thinking that somebody consumed it devoutly while she was gone, though there was nobody in the room at that moment, did not know. Examining it, they found that it burned a hole in her. And certainly what happened is that the Lord allowed her to consume and to have that viaticum, that food for the journey, in that last bit, leaving the scar, the burning, the scorch upon her breast. She who loved our Lord so deeply. So what should we ask of our Lord today? I know normally we dwell upon the graces of Our Lady, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't select a new text for us to do. We finished our year-long on the virtues of Mary last week, and I didn't select a new text. So God willing, for the next Saturday we're able to have Mass, we'll have that text selected for us to go over for the next year or so, or as long as our Lord allows to do so. But to really allow that to sink in, are we providing a way for our children, for our grandchildren, for those who are in our catechism programs or whatever, to have that same love and devotion for our Lord, to push away those things which are evil? Or are we allowing those things which are evil to go about them, or to give to coarse joking in their presence in some sort of way that will keep them from leading the sanctity that God has called each of them to? St. Julia Falconieri isn't supposed to be a singular saint. We're supposed to have many saints just like her to spring up as well. And it's our job as adults, parents and grandparents, uncles and aunts, to be able to provide that for them. In addition, are we ourselves embracing those sufferings which we have within our life? She looked upon suffering not as something to be avoided at all costs, which so many during this time have given, saying, "No, nothing, I will take anything, but don't give me suffering. Don't allow me to experience even the possibility of an untimely death at this time." Or are we embracing those graces of God? Realizing it, that as John in his gospel says, the book of glory is the book of when our Lord is crucified, where you and I see suffering, distemper, ailment, and attack. How does our Lord see it? As an opportunity for God's glory to be made present in the fact that this does not end in utter death, but actually redounds to the glory of God. St. Julia Falconieri did that and had a supreme longing to receive our Lord. Let us ask our Lord for the grace as we enter into this Mass more deeply in the silence, the beauty of the liturgy that's presented for us, to build within us a great grace, a great desire, this sort of fervor within our souls that we want nothing else. And the thing that is most distasteful for us in any way is to be separated even from a single Mass, from being able to receive our Lord, to keep ourselves pure so that we can receive it, and to keep ourselves longing and clawing for the next opportunity when I'm able to make that worthy Holy Communion. St. Julia Falconieri, great saint of the Church, pure virgin, pure of heart, and lover of the Eucharist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.